Where Nobody Knows Your Name is recorded in front of nobody. Hello and welcome to Where Nobody Knows Your Name, a Cheers podcast. I'm John.
And I'm James.
And today, James, we're talking about Head Over Hill. This is season 10, episode 9. I was about to say a corker of an episode. I've never said that before.
I don't know why you'd said that word.
This was written by Dan Staley and Rob Long and was directed by...
Jimmy B?
No. John Ratzenberger.
Boy, Ratsy, of course.
Yeah, I was quite surprised when I saw John Ratzenberger's name appear as director, but it's not the first time, is it, James?
No, he started all the way back in season 6, John.
There we go.
Season 6, episode 14, and God Created Woodman.
Good episode as well. I tell you what, though, this episode, when I saw his name pop up, and this is a slight spoiler for what's to come, but I went, oh, maybe he's not in it very much this episode. And then as soon as I thought that in my head, he walks through wearing some interesting attire. And maybe we'll leave it like that for now.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get onto that. What's the cold open?
I love the cold open. The cold open is cold calls. Or prank phone calls. Cold calls and prank phone calls are different things, aren't they?
Cold calling is sales. Yeah. It's hello, is there a Jas there? First name Hugh.
Well, I'm glad you said one of the classic Simpsons ones there, because that's where my head went as well.
Hello, I'm Hugh Jas.
I think it's such a, I mean, in The Simpsons, it's such an iconic trope through the seasons of the prank calls that Bart does to Moe's. Moe's response to prank calls is very different to Woody's.
The joke is your refrigerator running?
Well, you better go catch it.
Yep. It reminds me, the also one is, do you have Prince Albert in a can? Well, you better let him out then.
It's not, yeah. I prefer the fridge one.
What's the one from Diane era? It's she said, name three cars that start with P. No, they all start with gas.
Yeah, well, Woody calls it out for what it is. It's a homonym.
Homonym, yes, from the Latin. What?
I don't know. For some reason, I just thought you're going to carry on like a sort of monorail. You know, the monorail song in The Simpsons?
Homonym.
Homonym, 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 homonym. And you know what? This cold open had enough jokes with just Woody's bit, but they went, how can we really top this off? And Dan and Rob, they went, we'll reveal who the prank callers are. And it's the Cranes.
The Cranes are up to all kinds of mischief.
Fraser's particularly frustrated that Woody doesn't get the joke. He's like, I shouldn't have explained it to him.
It also reminds me of Vicar of Dibley and the post-credit scenes in Vicar of Dibley, where Don French, very good comedian for our American audience who may not know Vicar of Dibley, she played a vicar in this small town. And in every episode, after the credits rolled, it was her and one of the local members of the church, Don French, as this vicar character, would tell this joke. And the character just took them very literally. Don French had to explain them. And she went, well, I just don't think that's very nice.
Yeah, there are some good little scenes, especially the Christmas ones where there's one where it's like Christmas cracker jokes, isn't it? She's just not having it.
Very good series. And the Christmas episodes are the best ones because it, you know, leads into her as a vicar thematically and narratively very well.
But yeah, it's good to see Lilith playing a prank. We've seen a few pranks from her last season. She said last season she's a joker. We got to see that this episode a little bit.
She's a mischievous one, that return and stern one.
I tell you what, she's not the only one returning though, James.
No.
John Alan Hill is back in this episode.
Yes.
Which was a joy to see on screen.
Coming straight in to... antagonize the gang? Antagonize is the word I choose, and I stick by it, John.
Yeah, he comes in quite sort of brash as he does with the Sam.
Sam.
I don't know if I do it. Sam. No.
That sounds like he's being...
tracked away. It sounds like he's in a race car. Sam.
Sam. I was talking with the artist of our Facebook banner, and I went...
Genuinely, I thought you can go, I was talking to the artist formerly known as Prince.
I gave her my impression of someone being thrown off a train. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
This isn't my stuff! I think it's pretty good.
That's pretty good, yeah.
You have to amuse yourself, don't you, John?
Well, I suppose that's what John Alan Hill does. He amuses himself because Sam goes... Well, originally, him and Carla have this big sort of spat where they have back-and-forth name-calling.
What are you doing down here, Hill? Hair club for men meeting?
Oh, I didn't see you down there, Miss Dotelli. although frankly you do announce your presence.
So, have you decided what color you're going to dye your head for Easter?
Why don't you just scuttle under the office door and get Sam?
Sam, Hill's here!
Don't tell me. Pizza for lunch?
Not the worst lunch. If you said, oh, John, you've got pizza breath, I'd go,
yeah.
It's not bad. It's not like, oh, sardines for lunch. That would have been more of an insult, I guess.
Yeah, no one's going, ugh. Is that smell pizza?
That's what I was thinking. But anyway, yeah. Sam comes in and says, you got to stop saying my name like that. You sound like a man who's been thrown off a train. He says, how would you order a ham sandwich? And I think John Allen Hill's reply is, it's the epitome of his character, I think, really.
You know, I got to be honest with you, John. The way you pronounce my name really bugs me.
How would you like me to pronounce it?
Sam. Just Sam. You try.
Sam.
All right, John, what would you say if you're going to order a ham sandwich?
I don't eat ham.
Have you seen 30 Rock?
I have not.
There's a great bit where it's just the one word joke of just ham. And they've got Tracy Morgan's character, Tracy Jordan, his wife, has been cast in her new reality show. Tina Fey's character goes, I don't understand. Why is she being given the show when we can't, you know, work on our own thing? Alec Baldwin goes, people love the way she says ham. It gets to, just cuts to her going, ham.
What word do you think you say that gets people listening in this podcast, James?
Halloween.
Yep, that one which we say every podcast. Halloween.
Snack.
Yeah, that was quite a good one for you.
Yeah, who knows when the snack will return.
Well, in this episode, Hill is angry at Sam because he's filled up his bins again. Sam's been using Hill's bins, and he's fed up. Hill says, and this, I think, it doesn't quite make a huge amount of sense, but he says, perhaps I'll paint a picture of your face with a line through it on the bin. And I think, oh, Sam's not rubbish.
It just means no Sam here.
No Sam here, yeah. Sam here.
You got no Sam. I was at an airport once. My dad and I were off our flight waiting for our luggage. And we sat down on this table. And after a while, we noticed people kind of pointing and laughing at us. What's going on? Wait for it. You know,
I'm already laughing.
And then I was like, what's going on here? And I kind of looked around and realized there was a sign above us. And the sign said, unwanted baggage. You just saw these two slightly bored men, father and son, bonding at its best.
I kind of want to see that picture. I feel like people took pictures of that.
I mean, imagine they did. I imagine it's somewhere.
I tell you what, though. I think Hill's messaging is a bit off, but that's his stance anyway. And he's a bit fed up of Sam using his bins. And he says, if it continues, I'll throw garbage in your bar. And if it continues after that, I'll do something your clientele notice. He also calls Carla a bag of trash on legs or something. A bag of trash wearing an apron.
I've been called worse.
And we see after this, the sort of minor betrayal of this episode, which is Norm goes, oh, you know, Sam, he's got a point. He's just trying to run a business. You know, he's a businessman and it's costly to maintain bins. But yeah, quickly Sam says, oh, you want to talk about how a businessman should operate, and gets on his ledger with Norm's tab on. And we quickly see how Sam can shift when his friends' alliances change. And that's like a subtle insight into it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's, well, it's just a setup, isn't it? But he's got a point, Sam does. Norm's freeloading.
He paints the odd wall.
I was going to ask, is he paid in beer? Probably.
Probably, yeah. But that's not the only story going on this episode, James, because I mentioned it before, John Ratzenberger, director of the episode, he wants to be taken seriously this episode as a director.
Comes in wearing colonial wear.
Yeah, he comes in dressed up as a sort of, what era would you say this is? 19...
Colonial.
18... What hundreds is it? Colonial? 1800s?
Late 1700s? Because obviously 17... 76 Independence.
He's got a hat and frills.
I thought you said thrills.
No, I think they should have called this a hat and frills this episode.
Well, they named it after the Tears for Fears song, presumably.
Which was that? Head Over Hill?
Head Over Heels.
Well, that's just a saying in general, isn't it?
Yeah, but I like to think it's related to Tears for Fears.
Fine, James, we'll add it to the playlist.
Any excuse.
But yeah, Cliff's got some big news, which is he is going to take part in a reenactment of the first ever postal office delivery in Boston.
Oh no, one of your trivia is going to be, when was this?
Oh, maybe I should look that up.
But that is what he's doing, riding a horse down the old post road.
Which is, I mean, it's quite an honour for him to do. It's, yeah. It's strange for him to do because according to Norm, Cliff is scared of horses.
I think it's a rational fear, to be honest.
I'm not saying it's not an irrational fear, but I think it's a strange thing for him then to volunteer to be part of this reenactment where he will ride a horse through the town.
Have you ever ridden a horse? That was very Jonathan Frakes, wasn't it?
I feel like I'm being interrogated. Have you ever ridden a horse?
Where were you on the night of the 13th?
I don't think I have.
I think when I was very young, I was put atop a Shetland pony, but no, I don't think I've ever ridden a horse with any deliberation.
I don't think I've even been put on a horse.
I've met a couple of horses, yeah.
I've met a horse, but that is as far as it goes. I nearly lost a finger to the horse.
In some kind of, I'm thinking some kind of Russian roulette type situation.
I was, you know, you're supposed to do flat palms.
Oh, you fool.
Well, no, I did flat palms, but it didn't want the palm.
It didn't want the palm?
It wanted your finger. Yeah, and then you took a finger off, but I'm not scared.
What a story would have been, though. How did it lose that finger? Oh, going to an altercation with a horse.
This was only this summer, by the way.
Was it? Oh, I thought it was when you were, you know, preteens.
No, it was just a couple months ago, really.
Well, that would have been a sight for the office, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it could have. Well, or less of a sight. There'd be less of me there. Just bandages. This was pre-first aid training, though, so.
We haven't covered horseplay. You have to amuse yourself.
Yeah. That's the second time you've said that in a podcast where you are supposed to be talking to me. At least I'm laughing.
I've had a couple of beers, and truth be told, we're recording this in the run up to Christmas, and I always enjoy these podcasts, but the year has got to me, John.
Well, you've got to amuse yourself. I think we should just talk like anecdotally to ourselves, not reply to each other. Just and then at the end, we'll go, well, I'm happy. He's happy. We didn't acknowledge each other.
It's very much like the two Ronnies.
It's a shame we don't have the same name, isn't it? If only, yeah, James. If only. You a fan of Carousels?
I was in the musical Carousel very briefly.
On Broadway?
No, on.
Off Broadway? Very, very far off Broadway.
Well done. Good. In Aberdeen. Sang a song about clams. So I did.
I don't know the musical Carousel.
Jolly Good Clam Bake is what it was called. I can't be honest. I don't know really whether I followed the plot. I was but a chorus member, so I showed up, sang a song about clams.
There are no small parts, James.
Only small actors.
Oh, there we go. James as a child. Was this pre or after you were in the lost baggage section or unwanted baggage section?
This was before, but not long before. I want to say this was early teens.
What a year that was. If that was the same year.
Fame is a fickle mistress, John.
One day you're on the off-board Broadway production of Carousel. The next day
you're on unwanted baggage at an airport. It's true. It's true.
Well, much like your heyday in Unwanted Baggage, this is Cliff's best moment of his life. He says it's the best moment of his career. No, the best moment of his life. He's excited, I'd say.
Yeah.
We also get Rebecca talking about her love of horses. And for some reason in my head, the horse's name was Sugar Cube, but we never got a name. She just used to feed it sugar cubes a lot. and Snickers and chocolates.
Probably loved sugar, so Sugar Cube is an apt name for a horse, yes.
Well, it loved sugar, but it apparently didn't get much because Rebecca would eat the sugar before she even got to see the horse. And then one day she was told she outgrew the horse.
Yes, it's a sad day in the Howe household.
But a good day for that horse.
I bet it was. Do you think it was a military horse? Because Rebecca's father is a naval man. I think that's been mentioned, has it not?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe, because she said she moved around a lot. So
you could say it was a sea horse.
Okay.
No, it was part of the cavalry, presumably.
Yeah, that's good. This is a very serious anecdote. No, it's probably part of the cavalry, I imagine.
Because John Allen Hill is getting on Sam's nerves, and we'll get back to that horse story with Rebecca, because it's a good little setup there. He recruits Carla to get under his skin.
The meanest person she knows.
He recruits her to get under his skin. And I tell you, she will, John. She will.
I don't like how you said that. It's weird phrasing, isn't it?
I thought it was good wordplay.
Yeah, he sends Carla to make John Allen Hill cry, is the goal. Rebecca doesn't believe this is possible, and Carla is able to make Rebecca cry pretty easily.
You don't think I can make somebody cry?
No, actually, I don't.
Maybe you're right. Say, Rebecca, when you were a little girl, why did you stop riding that pony? Was it because you got too fat? Just too damn fat. So damn fat, you broke the back of a horse. What's the matter, Bex? Your eyes seem a little shiny.
It's just an allergy or something.
Anybody needs me, I'll be in my office.
Doesn't hold back.
She knows how to hit a bullseye, doesn't she?
Yes.
Straight in on the target. And
triple Rebecca 20. Left.
Rebecca didn't have much recovery from there. She just sort of had to leave the situation with welling eyes.
Sam's proven that Carla is the right person for the job. And off she goes.
Meanwhile, because of the situation about the rubbish that was established earlier on, Woody comes down from the bar with a bin bag, nowhere to put it. They've locked the bins. He puts it on Cliff's stool and Norm has a little conversation with the bin bag, which is quite funny.
Mr. Hill put a lock on the dumpster. What should I do with this?
Well, just set it down someplace.
All right.
Cliffy, you want to pass me a sports page, please?
Mr. Peterson, that's just a bag of garbage you're talking to.
Maybe if we all cut Cliff a little bit of slack, he wouldn't be such a bag of garbage, as you put it, okay?
It talks less than Cliff.
Yeah, I thought Norm would have noticed that. But then Paul joins as well and sees some flyers next to this bin and asks about them. And that's where we sort of get the recap about Cliff's prestigious night where he's going to be riding a horse through the streets of Boston. And they decide to flick it on the TV because local news is doing coverage.
Yep. He's just like John Wick, is Cliff.
Well, you say that. He's nowhere to be seen on local news. He's gone disappearing. They do say on local news he is a professional equestrian. He's not.
He's lies, but...
He's, yeah. Pure lies from Cliff there.
There's a mystery. Where is Cliff?
Oh, it's easily solved because he rings the bar. And he seems to be in, like, downtown Boston Lost.
He is in the combat zone. It was an area known for... Well, I won't mince words. It's an area known for prostitution and other illicit activities.
Did you go there when you were in Boston, James?
Doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, but did you walk the streets is what I meant.
You a street walker. The Wang Theater, named after the scientist, backs onto a street which was part of the combat zone. So when it first came up, they had to, you know, in the backstage door where the actors come in, they were almost going, yeah, get out of here. I think that's interesting.
I agree. You got to amuse yourself. And you amuse me as well, James, with some lovely facts there.
Near Chinatown.
But yes, Cliff seems to be in a bit of trouble there, and he doesn't quite know the directions where he needs to go. He's on a horse, which I'm not sure if I said. He's in colonial garb on a horse. He looks like he's just coming through a time portal. When he's on the phone, he's saying to Norm, I'm in trouble, I'm in trouble. And then a car backs up, and the horse bolts, and Cliff goes with it.
I think it was quite impressive that he was able to reach down to a payphone while being on a horse.
Never put anything past John Ratzenberger. No. He acts, he directs, he can call a payphone on a horse.
I imagine that John Ratzenberger probably has ridden a horse at some point, because he's...
Yes, we just watched it on...
No, I mean prior to this episode and since, because he is big into American industries, isn't he? So I imagine he's got quite a rancher background. Yeah, so Cliff's ridden into the night. It's Cliff Clavin's midnight ride.
And Norm has decided that he needs to go help Cliff. He needs to find him and help him because he's sort of lost in Boston alone.
Do you want another little dose of history?
Yeah, always.
About Paul Revere's midnight ride. You want to hear about this?
Of course, James.
Paul Revere, a key figure in the American Revolution, was in a bar. And he heard the bells and the signals that the English were coming, so hopped on a horse and fled down. But because he was in a bar, he was very drunk, John. So he didn't make it quite the way to the person he wanted to message, and he fell off the horse. But the horse arrived, and that's how the message arrived.
Letter by horse, then that's classier than a pigeon.
You're classier than a pigeon.
Thank you. I mean, I hope that's sincere. I mean, after Norm is sort of left into the night to find Cliff, Carla comes downstairs from having tried to make John Allen Hill cry. And Carla goes straight past everyone. She is not in a good mood. And she heads straight for the bathrooms.
Lilith's in there.
Rebecca knows something's wrong and follows Carla in. And they know something's gone wrong. They want to find out what's happened. And they go through a lot of different things which they think has happened, including, has Carla killed John Allen Hill?
What is going on?
In this bar, I don't ask. Now, apparently you're upset over something. Or not, I don't know you that well. Carla, now just relax and try to breathe. Just breathe. All right, now is it out of your system? All right, now talk to us.
Carla, what has gotten into you?
First of all, you have to promise to never repeat this to anybody.
I swear. But that goes without saying.
Okay. I just did a really, really, really bad thing. When I was up there with Hill, I just kind of lost control.
You didn't break something really expensive, did you?
No, worse than that.
Did you hurt him?
Worse.
Oh, no. Did he have a heart attack?
No, worse.
Oh, he's dead?
No, you guys, you don't get it. I didn't kill him. I slept with him.
Yikes.
It is revealed that Carla has slept with John Allen Hill.
How dare she? Disgusting.
And she feels like she's betrayed Sam, her friend. She's betrayed the bar, the community. And she feels like she's almost betrayed herself, because they, at the beginning of this episode, were sparking quite significantly and sort of quite viscerally to each other of a lot of hate.
Well, she points out that it only fuels the passion.
So, and this is something which Lilith talks to as well, and sort of puts, not necessarily a diagnosis to, but talks of it from a perspective of a psychologist. But I think this scene is really nice for the fact that we've got Rebecca, Lilith and Carla in a scene together. And I don't think we really see the women's bathrooms much at all, or for a very long time at least.
Yeah, it doesn't pass the, forgot the name of the testers. Doesn't pass that test though, does it?
Well, women talking in films.
Yeah, it's two female characters talking to each other about something which isn't a man.
The Bechdel test.
Yes, that's it.
I knew it. No Googling necessary there. Yeah, it doesn't pass the Bechdel test because it is just three women talking about a man. But it's what a strange man.
He's barely a man.
The last time I saw him, I think, was the end of season 9. And we were calling him a dirty old man, I'm pretty sure.
We were.
And to see him back in Cheers and for this to have happened feels like a very left field kind of turn. And it was quite unexpected. I think we all expected Carla to go upstairs and Joanne and Hill come down sort of either as a broken man or for Carla to come down crying. And I think for this to happen, it's quite unexpected and it feels like it's going to have a longevity with it as well.
Yeah.
But the secret can't be kept for long.
No, because double indemnity.
Lilith tells Fraser. Fraser tells everyone, I think, including Sam. which is the big one.
Yeah, he's 6'3".
We saw Sam's reaction to the sort of the micro betrayal of Norm saying, oh, well, it is his bins earlier in the episode. And this is sort of the ultimate betrayal for Sam. His mm-hmm. best friend, who is Carla, his longest friendship, has went and slept with what he describes as someone who is pure evil, his arch enemy, someone who's been sort of squeezing Sam for money for the best part of a year, I guess.
Literally sleeping with the enemy.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I didn't think of that.
Okay.
And Carla is very worried, and the conversation goes into the women's bathrooms where they have this argument where Sam is, I think, irate is a good description.
Sammy, I let you down. I slept with the enemy. Please forgive me. Please don't be angry.
No, I'm angry. It's just, well, the way I see it, you let down the whole team. It's like, you know, bottom of the ninth, one out, runner on first, you're up at bat, coach tells you to bunt. Team expects you to bunt, the runner on first expects you to bunt, fans expect you to bunt, but instead of bunting, you sleep with John Allen Hill!
Take it easy, you're supposed to forgive me.
How can I forgive you? You slept with that evil little dwarf.
Is it my fault the guy is such a turn-on? I have never once said anything about anyone you have ever slept with.
Oh, right. What about Diane? Every morning you threaten to stick a hand grenade in her mouth and pull the pin. You hated her.
I disapproved of her.
Carla, you hated her. You hate everyone.
That's not fair.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I forgot. You don't hate John Allen. No!
That's a lie for your forgiveness. I'm out of here.
And I tell you what, it made me realize that we haven't been able to see Sam at this point of anger for a while. And having said that, I think the last time probably was with the duck Matt towards the beginning of season 9. But it was so frequent in the relationship that he had with Diane in the earlier seasons where he was a man on the edge, you know?
Very true. Yeah, we've seen him maybe angry at Gary a couple of times, but there hasn't been a near constant presence is what John Allen Hill is, you know, even to the extent that he doesn't need to be in an episode for him to be name dropped and you to understand the irritation there.
But I think Ted Danson takes this opportunity and runs with it to really sort of chew the scenery, just break the scenery probably at points in how he's slamming the doors in the cubicle stalls. But he has fun with the angry monologue that he's given.
It's very much a one-time set, isn't it? Because Rhea Perlman rips dryers off the wall, almost smashes a mirror at one point. And as you said, Ted's slamming the doors everywhere. Yeah, they weren't using that set again.
But it's a great moment, and it doesn't end there. I think normally with a scene like that, the conclusion will happen in that scene and he'll calm down. But he doesn't.
No.
And Carla leaves the situation. Woody comes in and Sam is still furious. And Woody's response to that is just hilarious.
Sam?
What, Woody?
You're angry, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
You're hurt, you're down, you're confused, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Yeah. I was too the first time I made this mistake. Just remember, the men's room is the second door on the left.
Without this, Cliff has been missing, and they've briefly suggested calling Boston General. Norm wants to just watch TV, but he comes to his senses, so goes out to look.
But whilst Norm is out, Cliff does return, and he's back at the bar in his full garb still. He reveals that he finally delivered the letter. He was a bit late. I'm not sure if it was still broadcast on TV or not, because he was so late.
3 hours.
Yeah. Now the problem is that Norm has gone out to find Cliff. And he hasn't returned. And Cliff is a little bit worried at first. He says, oh, I gotta go find him. But gets sort of enthralled by watching TV instead.
Norm's a big man. He can take care of himself.
Well, we think he can. We then get the scene of him in the combat zone, sort of asking around for Cliff. And we get a weird exchange.
I mean, it was set up very well, wasn't it?
Good night.
Excuse me, I'm looking for Guy wearing a funny costume, riding a horse.
Try the place 2 doors down.
Uh-huh.
Freak. Hey, good night, good night.
And in some ways, I thought there was going to be more of this story, but that's the end of this story.
Well, yeah, you didn't want Norm walking into a strip club and they all go, no!
I didn't think that was... I meant more of like Norm being angry at Cliff for Cliff not coming to find him or something. But instead of that, we do get the scene of Sam turning up at Carla's doorstep late at night to apologise.
And before we get on to how that goes, let's talk about the cast, because we've seen no other characters in this
episode. Keen Curtis.
Keen Curtis. He sure is keen, I'll tell you that. It's Keen Curtis as John Alan Hill, Paul Wilson as Paul Kraepentz, Jordan Lund as Barker Number One. He also appeared in American Playhouse, Fletch Lives, Hardball, Murphy Brown, The Flash, Doc Hollywood, Star Trek The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Walker, Texas Ranger, The Stand, LA Law, Speed, The American President, Law and Order, Chicago Hope, The Practice, ER, NYPD Blue, Firefly Enterprise, Days of Our Lives, and many more. Ken McGee as Barker Number Two. He also appeared in Police Story, Mork and Mindy the Jerk, The Postman Always Rings Twice, St. Elsewhere, Aftermath, Matlock, Bob, Murder, She Wrote, The Shawshank Redemption, Third Rock from the Sun, Party of Five, Star Trek Voyager, Becker, The Adventures of Young Indiana Jones, NYPD Blue, ER, Seabiscuit, and many more. Philip Pillman as Phil, Peter Schreiner as Pete, and there's many uncredited bar patrons, and I'm not going to list them anymore.
But yeah, a good episode. I think it was good to get King Curtis back in this series because he hasn't been in it, and we got to episode 9 and I was going to worry, James. I thought, where is he?
Where here. Are you, Keen? Where?
He's here. And yeah, it was good to have him back for this episode because I think he delivers a good amount of lines. And I said, you know, and retract that. He delivers a good amount of lines. Was that my take on the episode?
Good amount. No more, no less.
He has some really good lines through this episode, but I think Sam's response and the sort of interactions between the two of them and how they anger each other and now folding in his sort of this sort of weird relationship with Carla, which seems to be happening.
Yeah.
Feels like an interesting place for this season to go. But Sam has come round to Carla's to apologize and says, you know, it's just one of those things. We're best friends and I forgive you kind of thing.
Coming. Who is it?
Sam.
Hey.
Hey. How you doing?
Fine, you?
Fine. So, where are the kids?
How should I know? It's only 1:30.
I came to apologize. I blew up. You know, you gotta know I didn't mean any of that stuff. It's just how that Hill guy, something about him just makes me act crazy.
Yeah, forget it. I forgive you. I know you didn't mean that stuff. I just hope you can forgive me.
Oh, of course I can. Come on, you don't think I let that stuff get in between us here? You're my best friend.
Sammy, you're my best friend, too.
Well, I know what it's like. It's probably just one of those things, right?
Exactly. It's just one of those things.
Yeah. I've been thinking about this. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to go up. I'm going to talk to Hill calmly, you know, and ask him nicely. Maybe I could use the dumpster until I can buy one for myself. I swear to God, I'll do it bright and early.
Well, not too early, Sam.
He's wearing nothing but a bathrobe and a smile.
Yeah, he comes around through the doorway very limber and says, not too early, Sam. I don't think I'm going to be coming in a very sort of Keen Curtis, John Alan Hill way.
He's holding a toothbrush as well.
He's staying the night.
Yep.
And Carla looks sort of somewhat ashamed, but also somewhat, I don't know, not necessarily relieved, but kind of.
Well, it's happened, Sam. So.
Yeah, you said it's fine, kind of. She says it was maybe it's one of those things that happens twice kind of thing.
Like lightning.
Yes, famous for happening twice in the same place. And that's how we close the episodes. And it's an interesting episode, what it sets up. We've seen a lot of development with Carla in relationships through the series. And in some ways, this feels quite exciting because it's someone who their chemistry isn't... I'm trying to know what I'm trying to say. Their chemistry isn't typical, if that makes sense.
Yes.
They have a very sort of back and forth spat kind of... Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
I feel like with Eddie LeBeck, there was no... You didn't get Carla in that relationship. Mm. It changed Carla as a character. And I feel like John Alan Hill isn't going to change Carla.
No, very true.
Which I feel is going to be interesting, because I feel like we're going to see her in a relationship that, whether they're fighting or not, is going to, the fight is part of the relationship, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. John knows what he's getting into. Yeah.
And I think that it's not necessarily like a fight, I mean it by that, but I mean the sense of that dynamic of Carla being Carla.
Yeah, very true. Cliff's finally arrived. He's got trivia.
3 hours late, on horseback.
The amount we've need to cut out of this episode.
We've been waiting.
But as usual, before we open our letters, we have to give a shout out to our norms on Patreon. So this goes out to Treb Curry. If you want that special norm treatment, then check out our Patreon page for that and so much more. But we do have trivia.
We mentioned Cliff's journey and how he took 3 hours longer than expected. But what was the route that he was supposed to take, James? From where to where?
Old Boston Post Road was the route. That's a good question. Hingham to the Central Post Office.
You are correct, James.
What TV show would Norm rather watch instead of Cliff's televised horse ride?
Barnaby Jones.
Yes, and what happens in the episode?
Something weird.
Yeah.
I can't remember whether this is the show Cliff watches or the one that Norm wants to watch, but one of them was about someone going undercover as a pimp.
Undercover as a swinger to solve a jewel heist. And do you know where the jewel was?
Was it in like a dog's collar or something?
Exactly, yeah.
I remember Phil saying that.
Yeah.
I actually didn't realise the context of it until just now. We'll leave that there. We mentioned that Cliff delivered the letter 3 hours late.
Yeah.
But comparatively to the original letter, it was early. How many hours was it early by?
Is this a maths question?
Maybe.
Well, it was 3 weeks, the original letter. So you're asking me to do 21 days multiplied by 24 hours, take away three? Yeah. Well, 21 times 24 is 504. 501 hours?
Yeah, 501. But I only take your first answer, James. 504. You are incorrect.
I was.
No, you're very well done there, James.
What is Carla's new nickname for John Allen Hill after their tryst?
Oh, what do you mean by tryst?
Their encounter upstairs when she was meant to confront him.
I don't know. Lovable Baldy.
It's, do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, you can tell me. I can guess more things, but...
Yeah, you guess more things.
Old scalp.
I'll just tell you.
But yeah, tell me.
The bullet.
Oh, I do remember now. Didn't need to remember.
I thought you'd erased it from your mind. Oh, look, it's Norm. He's been looking for Cliff. What have you got for us, Norm? Well, yeah. I'll tell you what. This episode is called Head Over Hill, but do you know what I'm head over? That's a question.
Hill?
No, Zencaster, John. I love me some Zencaster.
And what is Zencaster, James?
It's a podcasting platform and also a video conferencing platform. We've been using it for a few years to record our podcast. Very user-friendly and very intuitive, because it's got its own audio processing inbuilt as well. All you need is an internet connection. And the microphone would help. It's very good for making podcasts, and we'd very much like to hear your podcast. So we recommend Zencaster for doing that. If you want to get 30% off your first month of any Zencaster paid plan, then use the code NORM at zencaster.com/pricing.
Well, that's last call at the bar, James. And It's been a weird episode. There's been a few things mentioned through this episode that we could have, but I'm not sure. So have you got any ideas?
No.
Well, I'm thinking we could have some sugar cubes and bits of chocolate and a Snickers. The old horse treat.
Hang on. Oh, delightful. How about a Snickers cocktail?
Oh, that sounds pretty good.
That does sound good. I'm reading it now and it looks delightful. Whoa, look at this. Liquid candy bar in a glass is how it's been described.
That sounds like I won't be riding horses for a while.
No, this is not a equestrian beverage. It looks nice, though. It looks like a white Russian, but I imagine much more sugary.
It's got a Snickers bar in there. It's
just a melted Snickers bar in a glass. It's not.
Well, I can drink to that. We'll toast the postal system in Boston and its heritage.
The USPS, yeah.
Yeah. And we'll toast to the blossoming relationship of Carla and Hill, sort of an unexpected one.
It is unexpected. We'll have to see where it goes.
Well, until next time, this has been Where Nobody Knows Your Name, a Cheers podcast.
Thank you for listening, everyone.